Lecture topic, derogatory cartoon, echoing the correct message, part 1.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een, الذين يجعلون مع الله إلها آخر فسوف يعلمون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى يكون أسعد الناس لكع ابن لكع أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, we find ourselves in a time which is rather dominated by the celebrity and the idol culture, where people, without exaggeration, are prepared to sell the virginity of their daughters to secure the autograph of a so-called celebrity. And I consciously use the word so-called because the man who was assumed to be the athlete of the decade, by his own confession, says he slept with more than 100 women. And I don't have to say anything further. You can follow the media and you know what I'm saying. So we are living in a time that is dominated by the celebrity mind, by the idol culture, where sports has become a religion and the players have assumed the roles of idols, where the players are glorified and wallah, the prophets are mocked. And you know what a sensitive topic it is and how fresh an event it is as of this morning, where players are glorified, idolized, revered, and prophets are mocked at. Early in the morning, I was interviewed by Radio Islam, and I made one statement, and I'm going to seize the opportunity to repeat that statement. We are consciously or repeatedly accused of being very narrow-minded. We don't have broad shoulders. We've got a chip on our shoulder. We're very possessive, and we're very obsessed. I'm not making it an Islamic issue. I want to elevate it and make it a moral issue. And I'm inviting every person with a sane brain and a balanced understanding, come to the party and let's discuss what's left of the fabric of that society who chooses to mock at the galaxy of prophets. And I said it and I say it. You will hear the same aggression and anger, hatred and dislike in my voice if you choose to demean the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, or the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, or anyone. The common thread is, these are the noblest of Allah's creation. So we've entered into a time where the players are glorified and the prophets are laughed at. Did not the Master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud ring in my ears. He said, Ya'ti alaykum zamanun. Ya'ti alaykum zamanun. لَوْ وَجَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَوْتَ يُبَاعُ لَشْتَرَاهُ. People will go around. They will find themselves so tightened and narrowed by the evil and the vice and the unpleasantness that they will literally go and say, my brother, I'm looking for death. You know who sells it. What did the giant Ibn Mas'ud say? People will go around and say, I'm looking, do you know anybody selling death? I need to call it a day, man. How long can my ears hear this? Now the hadith that I quoted, Jami' al-Saghir, the confidant of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Huzaifa ibn Yaman narrates it. And again, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aptly described it. He said, La taqumu sa'atu. La taqumu sa'atu hatta yakuna as'adu nasi luka ibn luka. Qiyamah cannot come and will not come and will not take place until the most disgraced individuals become the glorified people of that time. Now this is a clear-cut hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you unpack the word luka, they say radi'ul hasabi wa nasabi, a man devoid of morals and devoid of culture, devoid of character, but perhaps if you may call it a skill to turn a ball or twist a ball or kick a ball, that would look beyond all his deficiencies and he will assume the position of respect and honor at that time. And the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, ويقال للرجل ويقال للرجل ما أعقله وما أظرفه وما أجلده وما في قلبه مثقال حبة من خردل من إيمان. And it would be said regarding an individual, the hadith of Bukhari. If I don't have the vocabulary to aptly translate the words of Nabi alayhi salam, but to the best of my humble ability, مَا أَعْقَلَهُ, it would be said in the introduction of a person, these are the words, brilliant, intelligent, phenomenal, mind-boggling, amazing, unique. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says there won't be an iota of iman, of faith in his heart. He will be a hero to you and a zero to Allah. He will be a star to you and a disaster to Allah. And this is exactly where we find ourselves, at the crossroads. The other day I walked into a bookstore. The children wanted to buy a book. There was a young girl there, local native girl. If my estimation is correct, 17 years of age. She picks up the biography of one of the sporting stars and she gets excited and overwhelmed. And she starts kissing the book. So her sister nudges her and says, like, carry yourself with respect. We're in a shop, it's a mall and there are people. Back off, I love him, I'll give my life for him. Back off, I love him, I'll give my life for him. I said the other day, and let me say it here, how ironical. We have adequate things that have depressed us and have created fluctuation of emotions in our life. Do we have time to adopt other things to add to the fluctuation of our emotions? I know I'm sad and I'm depressed because the Muslims is on a crisis. Internally, I got issues in my life. Do I have to adopt other things to play with my emotions, whether who's winning or losing? Do I need to invite more joy and anger, frustration and fluctuation? I don't have enough issues on my own front that I have to adopt these things. Now, I wanted to speak on something, but obviously the issue is on this cartoonist and we have to address it and we have to provide direction. And this is a sacred podium and a respectable platform and we need to echo the correct message here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Nothing new. You are bound to most definitely hear the most derogatory comments regarding faith, religion, and your prophet from the people of the book. I mean, this is an explicit verse of the Quran, a verse of the fourth juz. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You will hear a lot of things. Having said this here, Allah's proclamation and Allah's decision remains on track. What is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. My faith will complete, my religion will prosper, and the name of my prophet will remain. Whether others like it or dislike it, this is a decided agenda that's going to happen. I remember we were sitting in the heart of California. It was Ramadan 2005 or 2006, somewhere there. We were sitting for iftar, and there was a local white revered American there. So it always intrigues me, to find out what prompted you to the faith, and in particular in a hostile climate, when there's such negativity that has been promoted against the odds, how did you find the truth and what attracted you? And the brother said to me, and it lived with me and it will live with me, an indelible impression. He said, when the statement was made, either you with us or against us, it aroused my curiosity to see what against you entails. It aroused my curiosity, what does against you mean? So it was obviously the light was on Islam, and that got me hooked into Islam. And I started searching, and the faith is beautiful. Like I often say, you don't have to clean it. It has its natural attraction. You have to undo the dust that we have put upon it. We have to undo, and Islam has a light. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you are bound to hear from them these things. And this thing is nothing new. Derogatory comments. And again, when I'm saying, many of us might be working with fellow non-Muslims and the topic has to come about. We need to understand that if you have religion in its true sense, because religion has become absent, you know, and like one guy said it very beautifully, there's no prophet that has the most followers, but rather PROFIT has the most followers. PROPHET, that prophet no longer has the most followers in the world. The prophet as in this, that has the biggest followers in the world. So if you don't identify with a religion, in the true sense of the word, where you respect, revere, and honor, then for you, it's part of humor. It's part of excitement. It's part of a joke. That's how life is. But if you identify with any faith, if you identify with any faith in the true sense of the word, you will take exception and objection to this. During the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was the incident of Ghazwa ibn al-Mustaliq, and the details are rather lengthy. And in the battle, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who was the leader of the Munafiqeen, he made reference to himself as the honorable individual, and he made derogatory remarks to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the disgraced individual. Now look at the dichotomy, look at the challenge that rested on the shoulders of his son, Abdullah radiallahu anhu. His son was a devout, dedicated, genuine Muslim. His father was obviously the man who would spearhead the Munafiq movement. So he came to his dad and he says, "Dad, am I correct that you've been making nasty remarks about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Is this true?" He said, "Yes, I have said this." He stood outside. The words of the Quran are, "La irraja'na ila al-madinati la yukhrijanna al-a'azzu minha al-adhal wa lillahi al-'izzah wa li rasulihi wa lil mu'minin." He said that the Munafiq Abdullah bin Ubay said, "If we get back to Medina, we the honorable people, we will expel and we will flush out Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." But he did not say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said the downtrodden, disgraced people. He stood outside Medina. He said, "Oh my father, you're provoking me to test the sincerity of my faith. Either you swallow your words and revoke your statements, then you will enter Medina with respect, or otherwise your corpse and your body will enter Medina." I am saying this here at this context that we are not advocating emotion, because the media, their salient feature has become reckless reporting. It has become the salient feature of journalism today. Anything taken out of context will have a wrong implication. The forked tongue with which they speak, when they speak is freedom of religion, when I speak it's hate speech. So they have a right, it's freedom of religion, it's your democratic right. But how dare I say, because that equates hate speech. I am not advocating, and let me say it loud and clear in case anybody wants to intercept my words. I am not advocating emotion. We need to work in a balanced manner, in a robust manner. We need to engage on an intellectual level. We need to engage on an editorial level. We need to seize every platform via which we can communicate our message. But we need to be vocal. Nobody can slap me and I can sit back and that's the end of it. No, no. It has to cause something within me. It has to stir something within me like it did to the Sahaba. The consolation is, and I read an article regarding the cartoonists, the Denmark cartoonists, and obviously mainstream media won't carry this, and it just makes sense to them, that he died under very mysterious circumstances. And if you read alternative media, you would have laid your hands on that article, that there was a very mysterious fire that gutted his room and claimed his life. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'in." O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's upon us. We will take care and personally deal with anybody who interferes with you. So I say to this cartoonist, and I have no doubt my Allah will take my message. I have no doubt Allah will take my message. The battle has been fought on the net, so we need to also come on the net. On the large scale, it's happening. But I have no doubt. Let me put things into context, then you know what I'm saying. I just want to blow hot air here. I need to support it with Quran, and then objectively you digest what I'm saying. When our two mothers, who we salute, honor, and revere, Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, honor, respect, salute, the consorts of a Nabi and the greatest Nabi, there can be none to equal them or to surpass them. As part of their woman nature, human nature, they wanted to maximize the stay of Nabi Sassam by their own house. So they played a bit of a trick. But it was an innocent play. It was not intended with any malicious intentions. How could anyone ever do anything malicious to the Nabi after all being his spouses? So they made a bit of a trick, and the details are very long. I don't want to digress. I want to get to the focal point. But unwittingly, it caused pain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It hurt him. Allah came down loud. Allah came down hard. إن تتوبا إلى الله فقد صغت قلوبكما إن تتوبا إلى الله فقد صغت قلوبكما عائشة and Hafsa, reform and repent. Get your act together. رضي الله عنهما. These are great women. I'm only quoting the verses of the Quran. Get your act together. And furthermore, Allah said, don't be in the deception that you are the greatest woman. If you continue, we'll have you divorced and replaced. Don't touch with my Nabi. And then Allah went on to say to the world and to this cartoonist and the likes of him that will come till Qiyamah. وَإِن تَظَاهَرَ عَلَيْهِ. My brother, if you knew Arabic and you could appreciate it and you could hear the magnanimity of Allah. وَإِن تَظَاهَرَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. I have this problem too often that I cannot bring myself to translation. Act. Allah said, and if you people aid one another against my Nabi, then let me tell you now, the battle is not you and him, it's me and you. This is the verse of the Quran. Open Surah Tahrim 29, choose and read it. 28 towards the end. وَإِن تَظَاهَرَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ. Remember, Muhammad's Lord is Allah. وَجِبْرِيلُ, and his guardian in charge of his affairs, his spokesman is Jibreel. وَالصَّالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the entourage of the believers. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ, and the presence of the angels. So he doesn't stand alone. He doesn't stand alone. So we have no doubt. Under this ayat, إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ, in Madarik al-Tanzil it is written, there were five who had a passionate agenda to cause pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Miraculously, ironically, mysteriously, Allah gave them all deaths which were unexplained. Some had a sudden ulcer from his mouth. Some had a rock fall in just strange places. And read the article regarding the cartoonist of Denmark and you will see how it makes perfect sense. So the first manner of argument or engagement is we denounce derogatory remarks against any prophet. I'm saying, what's left with our society when we idolize people who are bold on their status? And you know what I mean by status. Who are bold on their infidelity. We glorify them. We assimilate with them. We identify with them. And our society can cause humor out of mocking at prophets. We object in the strongest words that any form of derogatory remarks leveled against any prophet. Furthermore, what is the message to us? Let's do now some soul searching. Does it take the insult against my Nabi for me to understand what I owe to my deen? Does it take that? And that reminds me of the incident of Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu. It's the occasion of Tabuk. It's rather hot, challenging. Circumstances are not conducive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mobilizes his forces and they march. Abu Khaythama said, I will catch up later. I've got some loose ends to tie. So he comes home. His spouses welcome him, prepare for him. Rashat kullu wahidatim minhuma arishaha. They prepare the tent. Barradat fihima, they prepare some cool water and they prepare a meal. And Abu Khaythama speaks to himself. He talks to himself. Now, if there is a spark of iman, it would be activated. But if it's dead, there's no spark, then you've got to change your battery completely. Abu Khaythama walks into that orchard. He says, Rasulullah fi samumi wal hamimi. وَأَبُو خَيْثَمَ فِي ظِلٍّ وَنَعِيمٍ مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ. Allah's Nabi is in the heat, under the sword, under the aggression, and the Muslim of today, Abu Khaythama, is in shade, in water, under shelter. This is not on. Where is my iman? Abu Khaythama tells himself, he tells his wives, I'm not coming. My brother, I'm not telling you to react emotionally. Allah's Nabi's cartoon and derogatory remarks are displayed before you. You still look at the news, you You still look at the team that comes, it still bothers you who plays, it still concerns you what's the currency like. Abu Khaythama said, I'm not a Muslim, what's my iman left? You decide where you stand. You decide where you stand. And I leave you again on this note. It's time we do some soul searching and change ourselves. You know the child who revolts against his mother and he upsets his mother and he offends his mother. And then one day the neighbor comes and he swears his mother and uses vulgarity. So the youngster becomes personal. He says, listen, me and my mother might have issues, but you don't dare say that against my mother. And he becomes physical and the neighborhood gets involved and the mother, old age, boy, what's happening? No, ma, he's swearing you. Boy, leave him alone. What less have you done to me? Your pain is more. He's not mine. He never claimed I'm his mother. I never said he's my son. You are mine. You're hurting me the most. Why in political terminologies, why is treason considered such a grave offense? You hold my citizenship. You hold my nationality. You carry my document and you stab me. You're the one that says Muhammad is the greatest man. But you suffer the complex in exhibiting his character. That man, that kafir, never claimed Muhammad was the greatest human. I do and I believe and I put my head on the block he was. And I have no doubt Allah will deal with him and his likes personally. Our dua is may Allah show it to us how he deals with them. That is going to happen. فَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِينَ عِدُهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether I destroy them in your presence or after your demise, that remains my decision and I will do. You continue what you have to do. Now on a last note, and again I'm saying, we're not saying act emotionally because, you know what, it's a very sensitive time. We've seen the irony. We've seen what's happening in Iraq. Every day, two bombs are going out, being detonated for the last X amount of months. And the Iraqi intelligence could not apprehend that. But very ironically, they have laid their hands on a prime suspect who had an agenda here. My word. My word. Every day there are bombs. This group blames that group. That group blames this one. Nobody can lay claim. Nobody can pinpoint. With precision, nobody can identify. But they can rise beyond all these bickerings and internal discrepancies and suddenly apprehend, am I so cheap? Can you buy me and sell me with journalism like this? Oh Muslim, regain your identity. If it takes this to unite, I'm saying, you know, there's an incident, time is up here. I'll mention two things. Sahaba, what was their love? There was a person by the name of Ka'b bin Ashraf, and it's in Bukhari Sharif. The hadith is very long. He had caused a lot of pain to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had caused so much grief that it's untold. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, would anyone just give me comfort from the man? Would anybody just give me comfort from the man? So Muhammad ibn Maslama said, oh Nabi of Allah, I can, but I've got to tread very cautiously and I've got to camouflage. I'm going to hate saying this, oh Nabi of Allah, but I need consent from you. The hadith is in Bukhari. Just to get myself in, I'm going to have to, as a pretext, say some things unpleasant about you. But wallah, I don't mean it. I just need to get in so that I can do what you want me to do. Imagine the Sahabi. He is seeking consent to do something where he doesn't mean it, to accommodate the joy of Nabi alayhi salam. And there also he says, oh Nabi of Allah, I don't mean it. I'm going to go. But if I go, the man would at face value knock me out. So I'm going to go on with an agenda and say, yeah, Islam is bad, Muhammad is hostile, and Islam has issues. So if you allow me to infiltrate, I'm saying, what was their level of love that they had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What did it mean to them? And what is our condition? So let's not react emotionally, because that's playing into their hands. I'm saying this loud and clear. We work within the framework of the legal boundaries. We are vocal and vociferous. We show our dislike. But at the same time, let's take some soul searching. Am I sincere in my cause of Islam? Abu Khaythama could speak to his emotions. And I leave you with this thought in that regard. When Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, the minister's wife seduced him. And the incident is very famous. And then people started gossiping because she fell in love with her servant, her slave. وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ You know, in simple language, I translate, the woman of the locality started making panchat. That's the words of the Quran in the sense, Niswatun, the woman in the locality, they said, hey, you heard what? Yeah, minister's wife, something happening, went on. Now, with all her evil, but she gives us some insight in how to engage the situation constructively. There was one way to say, oh, you're condemning me. I'll take out an article against you. You are voicing your opinion against me. I will silence you. She didn't do that. She kept quiet. She invited them all. She invited them all one day for a banquet. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا وَقَالَتْ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ. She gave every one of them a knife and then she gave them fruit. And Yusuf, unaware, said, Yusuf, you want to just come out, please? I've got some work. So Yusuf walks out. And when they look at him, they are riveted. They are speechless. They are spellbound. They are consumed. And they cut their hands off. The scholars say she was once smarter. She didn't condemn them. She exposed them to his beauty. Is it not the time that I expose this cartoonist to who the giant Muhammad was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's not the time. One is, and I'm not saying don't explore those options. And I, in my this morning radio program, I pay tribute to the legal fraternity. And again, I salute them and I pay tribute to them for a second time. I honestly believe your endeavor for this interdict in the eyes of Allah, for how close his Nabi is, I'm optimistic it will secure your salvation. To every legal eagle, to every legal mind who put his thoughts behind it and work relentlessly across the night. And it reminds me again of the incident of Khuzaymah ibn Thabit. I'm going to wrap up. Khuzaymah ibn Thabit, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking. He meets a villager. He says, I want to buy this camel from you, this conveyance. He said, that's fine. They settle on an amount. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts walking, another person comes and enters into a fresh agreement with him. And he says, no, you know, we can talk a better price. So he gets chatting. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in objection, but don't we have an agreement in place? I told you X amount. I told you come home, I'll sort you out. He says, no, we have nothing in place. Just then Khuzaymah radiallahu anhu comes in and says, oh Nabi Allah, what's the scuffle and the shuffle and the altercation? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let me put you into picture. I told this man I want to buy this from him. I gave him an agreement. In principle, we agreed, finalized an amount. I was walking home and then he enters into a new agreement. Oh Nabi Allah, I stand testimony. You had entered into that agreement and the first agreement is binding. He cannot make a fresh agreement. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I appreciate your testimony, but the reality is you were not there. Let's call a spade. As much as you support what, he said, O Nabi of Allah, I trust you in the matters of the heavens. How can I doubt you in the matters of the earth? I trust you when you tell me Jibreel told you and I didn't see Jibreel. When this is dealing with ABC, how can I doubt you? Nabi alayhi salam was elated. He was overwhelmed. He said, listen, my sahaba, I have elevated the testimony of Khuzaymah to two. In Islam, wherever you are required for two people to testify, one Khuzaymah's testimony will stand for two. He brought so much joy. So I'm optimistic from my Allah, the lawyers, and may Allah take my message to them also. Whoever put their mind to it in whichever way, that shopkeeper that threw that paper out, that vendor who got rid of it, don't think this will go unrewarded. Allah's Nabi is the most beloved to Allah. Qazi Ayaz has written in his Shifa, the soil on which Nabi alayhi salam rests is more sacred to Allah than the Kaaba as well. It's the most sanctified piece of land on planet earth and in the heavens. So what I'm saying is this woman, she didn't write an article again. She exposed them to the beauty of Yusuf. It's time we exhibit the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We go and silence them by the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's exactly what the Nabi of Allah did. Was it not that he helped that woman with that bag and she saw Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way and the Prophet of Allah contained himself. And then when he got there and she dropped her parcels off and said, gentlemen, what's your name? He said, aunt, with respect, I am Muhammad. Are you the very man I've been condemning? Yes, indeed. Okay, well then embrace, introduce me to your faith. So stand up with the character of Nabi alayhi salam. We salute all the endeavors in its way. And we call for restraint and diplomacy and wisdom, maturity. Carry yourself with respect. Present yourself with dignity. Do not do anything that will jeopardize the condition of the Muslim, that will contribute negatively to the global image of the Muslims. Understand the implications of your actions, but vocally be vociferous and display his character. Allah has taken care to promote his deen and preserve his Nabi.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.